things as these, anger, rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Di. Nigel's going to come and speak to us now.
Great, well, I hope you can hear me okay. Good morning, everyone. Well, what a passage. And to start with, I just want to say a little preface, a couple of things before I get into the main part of the sermon by way of setting the scene. This sermon, I think, more than many that I've given recently, I find myself thinking this is something that applies to me and that I want to be listening to as I give it to you. I'm reminded of a verse in Corinthians. I keep my body under control and make it my slave, so I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. So I want these words to echo in my ears over this coming week, just as much as I want them to echo in your ears as well. And the other thing I wanted to say before I started as well is that if you are here as a visitor, perhaps you're not yet a Christian, you're spectating, you're looking in on the church to see what we get up to and what Christianity is all about. This sermon is very much for the church, the people of Christ, those who have already made a commitment to Jesus. So if you're just dipping your toe in the waters of Christianity, then watch and learn. If you make a commitment to Christ, this is how you would be called to live, but not how you would be expected to live now. I don't think tut-tutting at non-Christians does any good or makes any difference to them. It's never a thing that I thought was a good idea. This is for the church. So I don't know what television you might watch on a Wednesday evening, if any, but we've been watching a program called This Time Next Year. And it's about people who want to change something about their circumstances or their situation. And amongst those people, a number of them are looking to lose weight. And the reason that we're watching it is that the diet plan many of them have adopted is from a company called Body Chef, who our son now works for. He has just been promoted to a permanent position at the company, so we were very excited, and they've actually got their advert in the commercial break, so that was quite exciting. Now, these are people who've made a decision to live a different life, to get control of their appetite for food and to control what they eat. And there are some echoes of that in this passage. Now, whilst the dieters work very hard to change the shape of their bodies, those bodies that will, regardless, one day die and go to the grave, And it says elsewhere in the Bible that athletes also work very hard to train their bodies for a medal that will fade and be gone and forgotten. We, however, as Christians, are training for something very different. We are training for eternal life. We are undertaking something that will go on for the rest of our lives. Perhaps if they made a TV program about us, it would be called, not this time next year, but by the time I die, I want to be different. So I want to go back to the start of our Christian faith, when we first choose to follow Jesus. And just as those dieters make a choice to start their plan, we make that first step to believe in Jesus and to follow Jesus. And something that's associated with that start is baptism. Now, I'm not here to give a sermon about baptism, but some of the language that we have in this passage talks about death and resurrection. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, we had a big temporary pool erected, and we had a couple of baptisms here in the service. And also last Thursday, for those of you that were able to get to Stoughton, there were some more baptisms and reaffirmation of baptism vows and also confirmations. And that imagery of baptism is very powerful, isn't it? When we see somebody baptized, they go down into the water, and that's a symbol of death. And when something's dead, we like to bury it. And so our old life dies and is buried in the waters of baptism. And then we're resurrected. And we can only be resurrected once we're dead. So our old self dies and is buried, and we're resurrected to a new life as we come back up out of those waters of baptism. It's a very powerful imagery, very powerful symbol of what happens when we start our Christian life. And this is what this passage is referring to. Our old life is dead. Our old ways are dead. And now we have a new life. And we are to set our hearts on the things of heaven. If only it were that simple. If only as we came up out of the waters of baptism, there we go, done, dusted, finished, complete. It's all easy. But if it's just not that simple. In fact, just like somebody starting a diet plan, that's just the very beginning. And as we are baptized, as we are resurrected to that new life, that is the beginning. And it's the beginning of a process of training. And we are training for a battle. We are training for a battle. A battle that rages within us. A battle that we have to take on every day. Each day we fight that battle inside us. And just as the dieter sometimes falls back, has a Twix or a packet of crisps, so we sometimes lose some of those skirmishes in our lives, don't we? But that is the power of the gospel. And it's a lovely thing at the 9:15 service where I was speaking, something that we have there is our confession. And we can confess our sins and our failings. The times when we lose those skirmishes, we know that Jesus will wipe the slate clean and we can start again. And that's a very powerful thing to remember as I go on through the sermon, that we have that forgiveness in Jesus. It's the very forgiveness that Jesus gives us, that gives us that opportunity to live a new life for him. And just to encourage us, let's read a passage from Romans. It says here, "The law has shown me that something in me keeps me from doing what I know is right. With my whole heart, I agree with the law of God. But in every part of me, I discover something fighting against my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of sin that controls everything I do. What a miserable person I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die? Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. So with my mind, I serve the law of God, although my selfish desires make me serve the law of sin." So Paul had those same struggles himself. We're not alone in facing that. But we need to learn new habits. We need to learn better habits, ones that lead to life and to a heavenly lifestyle. It's not easy, is it? The famous American evangelist, Billy Graham, preached quite often on the battle for the mind. And it's in our minds, it's in our thoughts, in our hearts that that battle is raging. And it's out of our thoughts and out of our hearts that lead to bad words and to bad deeds. If we can get control of our thoughts and our hearts, then our words and our lifestyle will follow. There are so many passages in the Bible that talk about thoughts. It was interesting, isn't it, that Jesus, when he came and when he was on earth, he didn't start a kind of socialist movement, he didn't start a labour movement to try and change society in that way, politically, but he tried to do something and he started something that was much harder. He wanted to change people from the inside out. And that's what counts, the things that are in our hearts. And the Bible says some very strong things about our thoughts. Even going back to Genesis, this is just after the flood, and God is speaking, and he's kind of repenting. He's saying of the flood, he'll never do it again. He's not going to put a flood. And it says, even though all of them have evil thoughts, from the time they are young, he's not going to destroy the earth again as he did in the time of Noah. Your thoughts made you his enemies, it says. And then it also says, I love this passage, we capture people's thoughts and make them obey Christ. And that's what we want to do. We want to capture our thoughts and make them obey Christ. But just to tell you how serious these things are, Jesus says in the gospel, but I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. That's a very tough thing that Jesus said. This is serious stuff. And again, the words that come out of your mouth come from your heart, and they are what make you unfit to worship God. Out of your heart come evil thoughts. How can we control our minds? How can we control our thoughts? How can we get a handle on that? And from that, to let our lifestyle flow. Well, there's some help for us in the passage. It starts by talking about the things that are up there, the things that are above, the things that are of heaven. And that's a difficult thing, to be thinking about God when we're engaged in the world. And this sermon is, we're here, we're talking about the things of God, we're praising, we're worshipping, we come together as the church on a Sunday morning, and it's lovely, and we have this time together. But this is only a very short, small piece of our Christian lives, an hour or two on a Sunday morning. If you were going to go to New Wine next summer, that would be lovely, a fantastic week when you're mixing with the people of Christ, when you're surrounded by worship, by good teaching, by the gospel, by the Bible. But what about Monday? What about next Tuesday? What about next Saturday? Those are the times when we don't have anyone else around us. We're on our own, perhaps, in our place of work, with our family, if your family is not particularly... If you don't have other family members who know Jesus. Those are the times when we're surrounded by the world. There's an old saying, isn't there, that sex sells. And when we're surrounded by the media, by advertising, by television, by the printed word, we're surrounded by those images of the old self, the self that we should have died to, but it's still there. We're reminded of it every day. So it's an old truth, it's as simple as it is difficult, that we need to spend time each day trying to grab hold of God and get our minds on other things. And that's as big a challenge for me as it is for all of us. I often rush out in the morning, I rush out to work, and I haven't had time to read the Bible, I haven't prayed, my mind's on what I'm about to do, I'm a bit late, I'm going to need to miss the traffic, if I don't leave now, I'm going to get caught up in the rush hour. And the Bible goes out of the window. So we do need to find time. It is habit, and it is practical. It's simple, but it's difficult. But it says later in the passage, with thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. The psalms, they're a great way just to immerse yourself in some of the worship and some of the angst as well. Maybe you're not feeling particularly worshipful on a Thursday morning when you've got a difficult meeting or something happening. But there are some really good psalms that just ache with the angst of human life and the struggle that we have. So maybe you can find some of those. If you've got a mobile phone, I guess a lot of us have those on us, and we can easily get a copy of the Bible on our mobile phone, and it's with us there all the time. But these things are about habit, about establishing good habits. Just as the dieter has to establish a good habit, we have to establish good habits. Now, it's not something that's particularly something I've found, but some of those spiritual disciplines of the past, you can see, or I certainly have started to empathise with them since I've been preparing this sermon, you can see why people had those disciplines. Now, we are called to freedom. We're not called to a heavy, regular thing. There are some Muslims where I work. They have their prayer mats in our multi-faith room, and I know that every day they have to go up at a specific time, face a specific direction, do a specific thing. We're not tied down in that way. We have freedom to choose a route that makes the sense for us, that works for us. So there are a few things that are particularly mentioned in the passage which I wanted to touch on, are earthly appetites and passions, whether for sex, for food, for stuff, or whatever else, appetites that have ruled us. These are the very things of the old life. And we're called to live the life of Christ, the life of heaven, the life we're called to live, that we will experience in heaven, the life above, developing good habits, gaining control of these appetites. Now, we're not alone. We are of the body of Christ. Now, it may be that as I'm speaking, you're thinking of something that you have grappled with for many, many years, something you've struggled with. We're here together, and we're here to help and support one another. We don't do this on our own. So maybe, as James was talking about people, if you wanted prayer before communion, again, if you want to find somebody you trust, someone that you can open up to, and that you can share that struggle with them, a habit that you have found very hard to break, part of your old life that you found hard to throw off. Because we don't contend with just simple worldly forces, we are contending with spiritual forces, and those are not easily broken. And we need spiritual power to break those forces. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer. And sometimes that's best done with somebody else. Now, whilst I've been talking about lifestyle and about things we should be doing, we're not here to condemn. We're here to encourage. And whilst we've talked a lot about the truths of how we should live, I want us to make sure that we don't forget the grace that we live in as well. On Thursday evening, the bishop was preaching, and I'm shamelessly plagiarizing from his sermon. He talked of grace and truth, hand in hand. He was preaching from the passage of the woman who was caught in adultery in John's Gospel, and that passage ends with Jesus saying this: "I am not going to accuse you either. Go." There is grace. The grace of forgiveness, the grace of a new start, a new opportunity for that woman who otherwise would have been stoned and that would have been the end of her. But Jesus says, "I am not going to accuse you either. Go and don't sin anymore." There's the truth. The truth is adultery was a sin. It was wrong. And Jesus wanted to see her go off and lead a new life. We have the grace of Jesus. That's the thing that gives us that freedom, that new start. We have forgiveness, and we are called to live in that new life, that new way, the heavenly calling, a heavenly lifestyle. And while we're talking about forgiveness, another part of that lifestyle is that as we have been forgiven, we are called to forgive one another. And the passage specifically calls that out and talks about forgiveness. Now, I think sometimes it's easier for us to forgive people outside the church than it is within the church, because we have those high expectations. We know how everyone else should be living, regardless of whether we're doing it. We know that those other Christians in the church should be living like this and like this and like this. And when it doesn't quite happen, when we come across somebody who's still in training, as we all are, and we suffer the consequences of that, it can be hard to forgive one another. So that's a challenge that is in this passage, that we forgive one another, that we have the same grace towards each other that Jesus has towards us. And that's part of that heavenly calling, that heavenly lifestyle. It's not just about the don'ts. It's not just about the moral aspects, but it's also about our forgiveness one to another. And there's a very interesting passage, isn't there, that talks about barbarians and Scythians. And I thought, I have to find out what that was all about. Well, barbarians was basically anyone that couldn't speak Greek was a barbarian. I think that was how they considered it. So we're all barbarians, really, unless you happen to be fluent in Greek. I don't know if there are any Greek speakers here. Yeah. I can just about work out what some of the letters mean, and that's about as far as it goes. Scythians were actually interesting. They were a. It was an area just north of the Mediterranean, not just north of the Middle East, around the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea, southern Russia and the Ukraine. That's where the Scythians were, and they were a nomadic tribe. Who apparently were known for being very barbaric in their behaviour. And so I guess if the early church had had non-Greek speakers or Scythians sitting amongst them, that might have been a bit of a challenge, and people would have thought, well, does Jesus even reach to those people? And Paul is saying very clearly that this is of no consequence, whatever your nationality, your ethnicity, your cultural background, anything like that. In Christ, we are all the same. We are all the same, sinners forgiven and called to that new way of life. So to close, as a final encouragement, I'm reminded of some other words in Philippians, which encouraged me as I read them. I have not yet reached my goal. I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind and I struggle for what is ahead. It is that daily struggle that we're engaged in. And maybe sometime this week, something will go wrong. You'll swear, you'll look at some inappropriate images, you'll have some inappropriate thoughts. Don't let that stop you. Know that immediately you can come to Jesus, you can say sorry, you can pick yourself up and you can continue in that struggle. And we're all training together to learn how to live as people of heaven within this earth. Amen.
Amen.
Put that back.